Tech Talk with Alan Perry on CFAX 1070.
Aloha. Welcome to the Easter long weekend edition of Tech Talk. We are live with you on Saturday, March the 30th, and Sunday, the final day of the month, the 31st, we are rebroadcast. Glad to be with you. Glad to be back with you after spring break in Hawaii with our exchange students. Brian, thank you to you and Kyle for filling in rather admirably last weekend. I listened to the podcast on the plane on the way back. I did not fall asleep. So I guess that's a good job.
Yeah, I'll take that as a compliment. Thank you.
Glad to be here. And joining us this weekend, none other than?
Gary Beyer from Tesseract 2.0 Computing.
How are you?
You know what? If I was any better, I'd be in Hawaii.
It was great. It was a really good time. I put a few more pictures down at the bottom of the show notes at tech-talk.ca of us doing things there. It was really good. I was really impressed to be having three 16-year-olds in a one-bedroom condo. It all worked out well.
Nice.
So it was really good. Yeah. One thing for anybody who's going, if anybody is going to Hawaii in the near future, feel free to contact me, text or email, and I'm going to put together a cheat sheet of some things that we discovered that have changed since last year. The travel tech all worked. That works really nice.
That's always a bonus.
It's so nice. In fact, even the students notice it because they're on Freedom Mobile like us, and it just works there. So nothing you need to do. Pearl Harbor has gone through big changes in ticketing process. We didn't even think of it. We didn't think three 16-year-olds would want to go, but they did. So, okay, try and make that happen. But you now have to book your tickets for the USS Memorial 60 days in advance, which most people don't know that they're going that far, or they don't have the precise date. Then they open up more tickets 3 days in advance. It's like the Taylor Swift concert or trying to get a BC campsite. You got to be on there precisely at 3 p.m., 3 days. Otherwise, 3:01, and they're all gone. And they're free. There's no charge for this. It's U.S. National Park Service. And we couldn't get that. So we ended up booking a small private tour with Daniels Hawaii, who are awesome. But they even texted and said, sorry, didn't get any tickets. Do you still want to go? We can put you in the standby line when you get there. A brand new system. Works really well. You just do arrive. You tell how many people in your party. Give them your mobile number. And off you go. And they will text you back when there's room.
You know, I haven't been there since 1990. And then it was just, you get on the tour boat. You go there. And, you know, when I was there, one of the drawbacks was in tourism, the disrespect shown by some people while you're on the Arizona Memorial. Is it still the same?
No, it was. They stress it repeatedly. Okay. We had already talked to Emma and Maho and Jax about this, and they were kind of curious about the memorial. And I said, no, it does not touch the Arizona. It straddles over top and the whole bit. And I said, you know, when you just. And they say when you get on board, and about five times they explain that some of the people here are coming to see. And the really neat thing that I did not realize that they have done, because there were, you know, more than 1,000 people that lost their lives on board that. The survivors, some of them going back a few years when they were coming up for their time to pass away, they said, I'd like to go back and rejoin my crewmates. So they went, So they actually came up with a very dignified system to take a special urn and take it down inside the ship. And so you'll actually see a photo. I was really impressed to see Maho and Jax and Emma just stand there silently and look at the memorial. And they turned around and shook their heads. Yeah. I said, you guys got to not do this. Make sure we don't do this ever again. But on the bottom right, there is a special memorial where they've added the names of people who have passed away and have asked to be returned. And there's one fellow left. Apparently, he's 101, lives in California. And the volunteer docent there said, we think he's going to want to be buried with his wife in California, but we're ready in case he wants to come back. Yeah. So I thought that was, it was really classy. That was really good. Anyway, everything all worked. We found the ABC store that now has a deli. There's one of all the ABC stores. If you haven't been to Hawaii, you won't know this. Anybody who has knows this. ABC stores are more prolific than 7-Elevens or Starbucks. There's, I think, 28 in Waikiki. There's one corner that has 3 out of 4 corners have an ABC store.
It's so crazy.
It is.
But they supply really good stuff. But one of the stores, hidden down on Lures, has a deli.
Okay.
Where they have things like prime rib for $10. In Hawaii, that's pretty awesome. They have Dole Whip at half price, personal pizzas for $8.
Oh, wow.
Things like that. Only one store. You have to know the one, 1205 Lures.
All that health food.
Yeah.
But yeah, the food was made. The food trucks were great. The kids loved all that. We did Diamond Head, everything else. Anyway, enough about that. So yeah, but if you are going to Hawaii and want my little cheat list of the hidden things that you won't otherwise find, Diamond Head, $5 reservation fee. You cannot get in without a reservation, so you don't overload the staircase. Things like that. Lots of stuff, obviously, to tell you about. More scams, including some new twists. Also, one in response to a message I got while you and Kyle were doing the show last week, and they didn't know that I was away, and what to do when you are told by your iPhone that an AirTag is following you. That's item two in the show notes there. If you have a Mac, beware of fake Clean My Mac installers. Item three, we'll go through that. And another one that also came up, if you're getting dozens of iPhone or iPad password reset notifications, hackers are trying to get into your account. Do not give up and say allow.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that as well. But off the top, this is really great time. I was just checking messages for people. I had my phone on Do Not Disturb most of the time in Hawaii. And a couple people messaged. They're going traveling. Freedom Mobile, didn't know this was coming, has introduced a cheaper $45 a month version of their 81-country Roam Beyond International Roaming Plan.
Oh, wow.
It was $65 a month.
Yeah.
And then they upped the number of countries to 81. And that was 60 gigabytes per month, which we talked about. The vast majority of people could not in their life use 60 gigabytes of data per month. So they've now come out with a $45 a month version that gets you 15 gigs of data per month, plus unlimited calling and texting to, from, and within the 81 countries.
That's not bad. I mean, 15 gigs is still plenty for a lot of people.
Most
of the time, I don't hit that, for sure.
And I checked the fine print, because that's always the devil is in the details. We've learned that so much. The plan is available for a limited time only, but Freedom will honor the rate as long as you remain subscribed to it. So if you're paying $45 or $50 a month now for a Canada plan, this is a no-brainer. Switch to this, and if you decide you want to run off to Denmark or Croatia or wherever, then this is there waiting for you. Nothing. It'll just work anywhere in these 81 countries as long as you remain subscribed to it.
Yeah, except for what, New Delhi? Was that what it was?
Yeah, and this is one of the things that I put in, because we learned a hard way from a fellow who'd done this and went to there. If there's a country that's really important to you, call 611 before you subscribe or ask at a Freedom store, can you check with customer care? I'm going to country X. Does it work in these cities? Because that seems like a dumb question, but as we found out from one of our listeners in India, Freedom Mobile's partner there, Jio, currently does not offer service in Delhi or Mumbai, the two biggest cities.
The two biggest, yeah.
Now, they're working on switching partners there to find one that will. But yeah, so I would, if that's, you know, if you're going for something important and it's not just wanting to be able to post your Instagram pics, you want to be able to stay in touch, then yeah, whatever country you're going to, I would just get them when you go to Freedom to make the switch, or reach out to Freedom customer and care and say, hey, I'm going here. Anything I need to know about that particular country?
Yeah.
And give them the specific city and say, does it work there? And they'll check and find out. Yeah, and they should update that list.
Yeah, I was thinking I would love to see that list of the specific cities and see if there's, like, the caller we had that said, you know, the couple
cities.
That's
the only one we found so far where there's an odd duck, and it's a kind of big odd duck, so we'll do that one there. So, so that is under the tech deals. That's a limited time that they're doing at the $45 a month to see how many more clients they can steal from TELUS, Bell, Rogers. So that's down there for you in the show notes under tech deals. And while we're doing one other one there as well, for a limited time, Freedom, and again, we're not getting paid anything by Freedom to do this. The fact that Brian and I are on this, you know, and we just found that it works really well, so we're happy to be the guinea pigs. Freedom is offering 20 gigs a month of 4G LTE Canada US data, plus unlimited Canada USA calling and international texting for just $29 a month.
Wow.
So 20 gigs is going to do the vast majority of people. So if you're paying more than $29 a month, there you go. Again, it's a limited time offer. They want to see how many clients they can steal. It's called the churn rate when you leave one carrier and go to another. But Freedom will honor the rate as long as you remain subscribed to it. And I know we do sometimes get questions because Freedom used to be owned by Shaw, and the network coverage was not that good. They're building their own network of 5G towers. They have four operating here in Greater Victoria. Otherwise, you operate on what's left of the Shaw 4G towers. But as part of the deal to get the government to approve Rogers buying Shaw, Gary, that you get to roam onto the Rogers network. And you can tell, it's seamless, nothing you have to do. If you look up in the corner of your phone, you'll see that the word freedom has changed to nationwide when you're on the Rogers network all across Canada. And in the U.S., AT&T. So no problem. So if you were hesitating doing that because of things in the past where the coverage wasn't great, no, it's not a problem. It's my daily driver roaming around. And as I say, Hawaii was a perfect test there.
Perfect.
All that one. So that one's there. There we go.
Are these prices going to go up? What do you think? Do you think they're going to just try to grab part of the market and then they're going to become part of the monster they're fighting?
Oh, yeah. They cannot afford, I would think, on an ongoing basis to do that. Although this does tie into two other things in the show notes that are in there. And that is the CRTC, Canada's broadcast regulator. Item 14 is going to soon release a study comparing international roaming rates to rates in other countries. Want to guess what that study is going to say, Gary?
Oh, my guess is that we are being overcharged for everything we do.
Yeah. I mean, the CRTC already says the preliminary results show no surprise that Canadian carriers, for the most part, are charging way more to keep us connected when traveling than carriers in most parts of the world.
Yeah.
Are you going to do anything about that, CRTC, or are you just going to tell us and try and embarrass them into bringing them down? Because they're not going to bring them down because the shareholders want their dividends. So, but well, at least
the shareholders want their dividends. Rogers wants to pay off a $26 billion acquisition.
Yeah.
TELUS wants to just rake in the money.
Yeah.
But CRTC will, this is like a start. Like, it's not but, like, they, yeah. it seems like they're intending to do something. Investigation is like the first thing.
But Brian, this investigating has been going on since analog cellular when there were only two carriers. Then the CRTC mandated there had to be four carriers. So there came two new carriers.
Yeah.
TELUS and Rogers bought up the two carriers.
Yeah.
And then there were more carriers and they were bought up and they became Chatter and Fido and.
Yeah.
So it's always the two or three main carriers that buy up the other ones, stifle competition, and the CRTC actually does nothing about it, even though they're the ones that bring in the regulations.
We'll see. I mean, they've been semi-successful in embarrassing the major carriers into doing things, like when TELUS was charging a fee to pay by credit card.
Yes.
And they said, okay, we legally can't stop you, but we're going to make your life miserable in every way we can if you don't do this. And quietly, 3 months later, with no announcement, the fee disappeared.
Just do that again. I love that attitude.
So that's what this is.
Just make their life difficult.
Yeah, so this study that's coming out shortly is going to be, okay, this is how, you know, and by the way, they're calling the heads of the companies back to testify at the House of Commons about the rates and the layoffs and everything else. So anyway, so that's there. So item 14 in the show notes.
Yeah, I think they're not calling them back. They're not inviting them this time.
Yes.
They're telling them.
Yes. So on that note, Saturday morning on our Easter long weekend edition, love to see if we can help you. If you've got any questions at all, there are no dumb questions. Well, if we can't have an answer, we will tell you. We don't know, but we will go and search it and find it for you. If something's not working, glad to help. Star 1070 on a mobile phone in Canada, 250-386-1161 anywhere. Texts in Canada can go to 1070-10-107010. Please include your first name somewhere in the text, because depending on how long you make it, it breaks it up. At least we know who we're talking to. And emails, old-fashioned email will still work. I've got a couple of both here at tech, T-E-C-H-T-A-L-K, at cfax1070.com. 20 after the hour on the Easter long weekend edition of Tech Talk, and to the phone lines. And Al, hi, Al.
Good morning, thanks for taking my call.
Our pleasure. How can we help?
I'm hoping you can help. I've been transferring all my photos from my Windows computer onto iCloud.
Okay. And you've been doing that at iCloud.com and then just uploading?
Yes.
Yep.
You know, making albums and stuff and putting all of them into different albums. But okay. My problem is I've got a bunch of videos and a number of them have different extensions, like .mov.
Yeah, that's the standard. .mov is the standard Apple format for video, yep.
And AVI and...
Okay, AVI is an oldie but a goodie. Yeah, it would need to be converted for... I'm looking to Brian. AVI has to be converted for iCloud, doesn't it, Brian?
Yeah, let's see. The most compatible formats, MP4, you know, H.264.
Yeah, MP4 and .mov are the most compatible.
Yeah.
I think you would need to convert. I think you would want, even if you don't need to, Gary.
I would think you'd want to. Yes.
Yeah. So you can get a converter app that will do that. Do you have any Adobe Photoshop products?
I don't.
Okay. No. I just didn't want to bore you. If you already did, if you got Photoshop or if you Premiere Elements would do
I
it.
I did. Go on the internet and you know how to transfer these over. Because MOV don't transfer over.
No, MOV is one of the standards ones. MP4 and MOV are the main video formats that iCloud wants.
Yeah, you'll have no problem at all doing that.
There may be a weird codec or something.
Well, it probably was from a camera rather than a phone.
Yeah, if it's successfully in
MOV
an MOV,
should be,
it should
no problem.
Be, that should be the end
yeah,
of it.
Those yeah. are the two native formats for Apple, .mov and .mp4.
Okay, so when I try to upload it, I get a message that says there was a problem uploading one file. Mm-hmm. Only files in JPEG format can be uploaded.
In terms of images only, can you?
Yeah, in terms of images. Okay, this is what we said. We were being prophetic when we said if we don't know, we will check. Hold on. Brian's going to do some homework on that.
Let me see where that's happening. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to just.
But I would use a converter to convert over AVIs. MKVs must be converted. That's the old Matroska format that people use for pirating. But things like that. But those are the two. As a general rule, if you want them the highest quality for using that on there, then we'll do that. Okay, but we'll check. Stay tuned, Al. We're going to carry on with that one here. Okay, so a couple texts here. So welcome back, Alan. Thank you. Hello, Gary and Brian. One, do you need to have something like an app or switch on your phone turned on to be able to detect an AirTag, or do all phones automatically ping when close to one? Okay, so this ties into item number two, and this was for Sharon, who had this pop-up. She popped up and told by her iPhone that there was an AirTag following her. So car thieves in particular, Gary, in Canada, it's become a real problem in Canada. Where they're taking desirable cars, stealing them, putting them on a container, and getting them the heck out of halfway around the world. So they've started attaching AirTags to the most desirable vehicles so they can know where they're parked to make it easier to steal them. But Apple does have the technology built in, and it's not precise in the sense that Apple will not tell us or you how long before an AirTag is in your possession before it pops up and says there's an unregistered AirTag. Mm-hmm. And then you can make it play a sound and you can see if it's somebody else. If it's somebody who's riding with you, like in the car, that's not going to do it. It's if they've left the AirTag behind, like in your glove box or in the pocket of your purse or jacket like that. So, yeah. On an Android phone, because you're now testing out a new Android phone.
Yeah, I love it.
So Apple has made a tool that will work this as well. And I had Gary just try it out. So on your Android phone, you tap settings, you tap safety and emergency.
Yep, safety and emergency. And you can go down to
unknown tracker
alerts. Now, on my phone, out of the box when I set up the phone, it turned that on automatically.
Okay.
So I just ran a scan and there are no tracker alerts right now. So I do urge you, if you've got an Android phone, definitely activate that.
Yeah, just double check to make sure that if you have an older phone, it may not have been turned on automatically when your phone was upgraded, newer phone, just because of this issue. So again, settings, safety and emergency, then unknown tracker alerts, tap scan now and do that. And then if it does find one, you tap the tracker notification to open a map and you place out. I will put that into the show note. It's not there now. I will add it into the bottom of item number two. But Apple Insider's William Gallagher has put together a useful guide on what to do if your iPhone alerts you to the presence of an unknown AirTag. It's a really good, easy-to-read article, and thank William for that. William is one of Kyle's colleagues at Apple Insider, and where Charles Martin hangs his hat when he's not doing London Drugs in home tutoring. So that's a good one. So I'll add in that information there very shortly. If you listen to us on the Sunday podcast, it'll already be there, but that's what to do. But yeah, it's as simple as that. And there's a window in there that it lets you know that you can do that. It's very rare that somebody uses it for stalking, but if that's you that is being stalked, then it doesn't matter how rare it is. This is kind of really important.
And now with the Android one, I'm just doing a bit of reading on this. Compatible trackers, right now it is only the Apple ones.
Yes.
So they are working on updating and expanding that, but right now it will only see Apple AirTags.
Yeah. And there's constant pressure coming from groups to get Apple to try and give people more control over when it alerts. And the problem with that is then the bad guys will know how to abuse that system. So it's a big improvement over how it first started. There we go. Okay, other texts here. From Peter. Happy Easter. Thank you, Peter. I no longer have spell check and cut and paste on Outlook. I've looked for a solution but couldn't find where to see if they turned on. Okay, so cut and paste is still there, but you have to use the control command. So control C to copy, control V to paste. You will not find right clicking. Right clicking, our friend Ron Fraser pointed this out many years ago because he had to have carpal tunnel surgery done on both. Right clicking is very hard on your wrist. So doctors would tell you, we don't want you doing this. Because that really? Motion, when you think of it, right-clicking your wrist, that's not a good thing to be doing on a repetitive hundreds and thousands of time basis.
You can see me wiggling my fingers. And yeah, there's more where I use a vertical mouse, like the Logitech VX.
Yeah.
And so it's a lot more natural, but if you're turned your hand horizontal, like on a mouse, I can feel that. Anyway.
But control C to copy, control V to paste. And if you're wondering, I ask, because this is what I said, no dumb questions, why is it control V? Well, control P is taken up with print.
Yeah,
but why control V? Because it's right between control C copy and control B bold, where they think most people's brains are already wired.
I mean, it's directly beside copy, so it just
and
makes
spell
sense
check. It will come back. We'll explain after the break where it's gone. It will come back. In the meantime, it's in there at outlook.com. Looks just like the Outlook Mail app, but it's on the web. Spell check is built in there. So if you have an important email, then I need to write it right now and spelling's not good. There you go. We'll explain the story when we come back.
Now, Tech Talk with Alan Perry on CFAX 1070.
As we roll on for our Easter long weekend edition for 2024. If you're just tuning in, glad to have you with us. Gary Beyer is in the studio. Gary owns Tesseract 2.0 computers on Broughton in downtown Victoria. Brian Pavlicic is now having to only do three things at once instead of four. He and Kyle were filling in for me while I was in Hawaii last weekend. So to answer Peter's question there, the Outlook Mail app, currently they're having an internal bun fight, as I understand it, at Microsoft over whether spell check should be right click on an underlined word or left click. So in the meantime, it's not working. They'll have an update soon that will bring it back. Somebody will win. Rock, paper, scissors.
Oh, right. I remember.
Yeah. So in the meantime, if you do need to write an important email and spelling is not your best suit, and particularly if it's a long email, write it on Outlook.com. The interface now looks the same as the Outlook Mail app. That was the whole point. But then spell check is built in there. That will come back. So that's the story.
So is spell check still included in Word?
Yes.
Okay, so you could just write it in Word and then paste it into your email?
If you have Word.
If you have Word. Or Word Online. Yeah, Word Online would work as well. So if you don't pay for Microsoft 365, then
as long as you have a Microsoft account, you can go to, if you have an Outlook email address, you do. So
so whichever is easier for you, write it in Outlook.com and send it from there, or write it in Word, paste it in the Outlook Mail app. But I would just go to Outlook.com if it's, that's an easy one. That will work out there. Okay, so back to Al's question here. He's been uploading all his photos and videos to iCloud.com.
Are you still with us, Al?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so I reviewed wrong there. We were looking at compatibility with iCloud, but I missed that the website uploader can only handle images. You can't upload a video from iCloud.com. If you're on Windows, what you would need to do is get the iCloud for Windows app. And then within there, you can say which iCloud features you want to sync with your computer, and you would sync photos, and then you would get your own folder there on Windows that would sync with iCloud.
Yeah, or I'm a big believer in the KISS principle. So do you have on your Windows computer, do you have Microsoft OneDrive, the little white cloud in the bottom right corner?
Yes, I do.
Okay, well, if you go and put that same app in on your iPhone and or iPad, then you can just simply go and find those files there. They'll all be sorted by date order, and then you just simply tap on download, and they'll immediately go in video or photo, whatever mm-hmm. format. They will automatically go into your phone. So if you do that with an AVI video, it should convert it on the way of downloading it into your iCloud photo library, and then it'll be there on all your devices. So that may save you a lot of time.
You were talking about OneDrive, not iCloud, right?
Yeah.
You said iCloud, sorry.
Oh, sorry. So go into the OneDrive app, and then just simply download. You'll see the little down arrow in the bottom right corner. Tap that, and it will synchronize right into the same date that it was shot on, and it'll be there. And if the date is wrong, for some reason, because you mentioned it came from a camera, sometimes they didn't capture the date accurately, mm-hmm. you can just pull down on the screen and edit the date and change it to when you think it was shot.
We're going to go toe-to-toe here, Alan, because I do not agree. I've done the OneDrive setup on iPhones. And sure, so if you don't pay for any iCloud and you're already paying for 365 and you get your terabyte there, it's like, okay, well, do I need two storage platforms? But my biggest problem is it doesn't stay in sync. It says I'm backing up the photo, the camera roll. So it throws it up there. So if you take, like me, I take 50 photos of Milo to try to get one where he's sitting still.
Yeah.
All 50 go up there. And then I go afterwards, this is the one good one. Save it, delete 49. OneDrive doesn't care. It's already backed it up. And so it's bloating and getting bigger.
Yes.
And whenever you try to manage your library, it doesn't. So now you have two separate libraries.
Yes.
And it's like, where is it? I know a lot of people get frustrated with just the overflow of files.
So I'll give you the other half. So we're in Hawaii. Maho has an iPhone with 128 gigs of storage.
Yeah.
She's 16 years old. So she has a zillion photos.
Uh-huh.
She also has a zillion songs. So the first day we're there, her phone is full.
Just get iCloud
so
storage.
I said, but her phone is full.
Yeah.
She doesn't have enough room on her phone, even with her iCloud storage. She's got extra storage. She's sharing our family plan, but her phone is full. She's got too much stuff on it. So I said,
optimize iCloud storage in
photos.
She's
done that. Still too full because she's got, I think, 1,600 songs.
It's not going to change the difference if iCloud's already put your photos library to zero.
No, but what we did was I said, okay, just tap your OneDrive.
Uh-huh.
Make sure all your photos are backed up.
Yeah.
Now go through and delete the ones, you know, like we took 27, delete the 26, exactly what you said. Delete them all except for the couple that you need.
But why do I need the bad ones? I take 26.
She can go
so
through those later. Well, because they're not bad to a teenager. They're all degrees of good.
But
to you and me, we pick one.
If you're just the iCloud just works with your device so flawlessly. And if you have especially if you have a Mac, like if you have a Windows computer, I get why you might be split between worlds, but like, all the stuff Photos is going to do, like sort by faces, sort by location, have all these nice features, photo, like library sharing. iCloud
is just
like dumb. Here's your folder online, and I don't care that you already deleted these files.
No, but it worked wonderfully. Every day I just had to say, delete more photos or delete more music. I said, don't delete the music from your library. Just delete the downloads.
Yes, right. Yeah, that's another thing you could do. But
I said, keep enough music to listen on the plane on the way back if you're not watching TV shows or movies. She slept the whole way. It didn't matter.
Yeah.
But that's basic. So every day I would pass over, I would use AirDrop to give Jax and Mahu, who both have iPhones, I would give them all the photos from the day.
Yeah, nice. Okay.
And then Mahu's AirDrop wouldn't work because her phone was full. And I said, okay, make sure they're all on OneDrive and go delete a bunch.
Yeah,
and every day. And so that's where OneDrive is awesome because, it's 1,000 gigabytes of storage. Whether she'll ever go through and delete all the extras?
Why would they be any different? If iCloud is optimizing storage, it doesn't have the files on the phone anyway. So deleting them saves the space of the size of a thumbnail.
No, the smaller size is a lot larger than the smaller size used to be under the new thing.
It does take up some space?
Yeah, it's taking up because before it used to be a 1 megabyte photo, right? Now it's a 30 megabyte photo, so the thumbnail is only 4 or 5 megabytes.
The thumbnail is 4 or 5 megs?
If it's a 40 megabyte, depending on the phone you're shooting on.
The thumbnail size is if it has to be, for example, a 1 inch by 1 inch at whatever resolution, that file is going to be that same size, whether it's representing a 1,000 gig file or if it's representing a 1 megabyte file.
Because the screens are so much sharper now and the resolution, they've increased the file size of the thumbnails.
The resolution of the thumbnails has probably doubled. That's true. Yeah, but it's still so much smaller. And And the other thing is I find a lot of clients who have that set up with OneDrive.
Yeah.
They're like, why do I have to go to different places? I just took the photos. Why don't I find them in my Photos app? I find them in OneDrive instead.
It's a way to think about it. This was just an easy thing to do, and I actually wrote this, not knowing we were going to have this conversation.
Yeah.
I wrote this into the show notes, item 17, how to free up space, especially useful when traveling. Now, the one extra thing that people miss out, Gary, is that once you delete photos and videos from your phone or iPad, so Brian, you've taken your 40, you've deleted 39 because you kept the one good one, and you go, how come I still don't have any space left? Because they go into a folder called recently deleted for 30 days.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you have cloud storage, they'll be in recently deleted on the cloud instead of on your device.
No, but they're in your device under recently deleted for 30 days. Only when you go into recently deleted and empty that folder do you get the space back. So
even
if you proudly spend
iCloud storage, it should.
No, it does. I checked very specifically.
Oh, okay.
So if you spend an hour deleting all these photos and video, go, ta-da, now I got room. No, I don't. Then you just simply go into photos, albums, go down to recently deleted. It will only let you see what's in recently deleted with your face or your fingerprint.
Yes, it's good that it's passcode protected. It can be, passcode, face, fingerprint. It's great that it's protected, because if it was some kind of private thing you wanted to delete, you don't just want anyone looking through your deleted files. You deleted it for a reason, and we're not going to assume.
And then you go select all, and delete. And then within 10 seconds, you get back to space.
I will give you this one. That is a good point, for sure. And it's the same as on your computer. If you're trying to free up space, don't just delete the files, empty the trash. Otherwise, it's the exact same.
Yeah.
So, good point.
Because spouses say, why did you delete all those photos? Oh, I'll put them back. I didn't know you cared about the truck photos. Yeah, passionate.
And Alan, how big is your iCloud family? You have, we're on the 2 terabyte plan.
Yeah.
So just try using iCloud. It's so much simpler. It's one step. It's not two steps. And especially because a lot of people aren't super comfortable with their phones. I've seen a lot of people who have that OneDrive set up getting really frustrated. Yeah. Or OneDrive gets unlinked and they don't know.
Yeah.
And anyway,
OneDrive does lock.
iCloud.
Does lock every 30 days. But Maho is the poster child example of why you use OneDrive, so she can keep all the zillion photos, but on her phone she'll just keep the best ones.
What's her plan? Because it sounds like it's full of music, and you should just stream music these days. Don't carry it around on your phone.
I was waiting for somebody to say.
Yeah, that's the other problem.
Well, that's what I encouraged her to do, but you can't stream music on the plane.
Okay, but did she need 128 gigs of music on the plane? holy.
She's a teenager.
But how much is she going to listen to?
If you're listening.
What is 7 hours of unique streaming audio at the highest resolution going to be?
I know.
A few gigs, maybe? I got to check.
No,
we should mention with what Alan's saying, this terabyte of storage from OneDrive.
Yeah.
That is if you have a Microsoft account or if you pay for a lot.
Yes.
Right. You pay for 365 already to get the terabyte.
That's
otherwise.
Right.
Yeah. If you don't do enough to justify paying the $79 a year for Microsoft 365, but you do want the storage, Microsoft has two really good plans. We bugged them and they did. Yeah. So it's $2 a month gives you 100 gigs or $19 a year.
Yeah.
And that's good. Yeah.
It's similar to that. And then the iCloud one, the baseline is $1.29 for 50 gigs, which is pretty smoking.
So the 100 gigs is really good for people that have an older iPhone that only has 64 gigs of storage.
Yeah.
And they're already maxed out and they're going on a trip. Then the 100 gigs is really good because, again, same thing. Make sure it says up to date. Then you can happily delete the stuff that you don't feel the need to keep right on your phone. You can put it back afterwards.
Why can't it just sync? You can get Authenticator and tell the iPhone, however you usually manage my passwords and autofill, autofill from Authenticator instead, and the whole thing works the same as just using that app. So why can't you just say, my cloud storage solution is OneDrive, and so photos you sync completely with OneDrive. That would be better versus copy them over, but don't keep my libraries in sync.
No, I categorically.
That's a big problem for me.
No, I categorically disagree. Even myself, I have way more photos on OneDrive than I have on my phone. I have every photo that I've ever taken except when I've gone through and cleared out.
Oh, but I'm just saying it would be the same, but it would sync properly with photos so that, if I delete the file, delete it from OneDrive for me. The same as when OneDrive is syncing with your computer or something.
But just think what happened in Maho's case. So now she's got way too many photos. So if she deletes them from her phone, they're deleted from OneDrive. She's lost them. This way she can keep them all on OneDrive, and if she wants to go back later and go through those 87 photos from that one particular place. But sorry, Maha, we're making you an example of this, but that's absolutely ideal.
But it's optimizing storage already, right? Because it doesn't, the way it does it now, it doesn't store them in, you know, you're saying she uploads 30 to OneDrive and then she deletes 29 on her device. She doesn't have the 30 in OneDrive still on the device. They're up in OneDrive. So if it was just OneDrive, they wouldn't be sitting on the device. They'd just be in OneDrive.
Right. But then she's lost them. Right.
Okay. I'm going to give up. I love going.
Yeah. No.
It's hard for me to let go with something like this. So I definitely disagree.
So what you're hearing here is red wine, white wine. It doesn't.
Yes, yeah.
It's not that Brian's wrong and I'm right or vice versa. It gives you a choice of which way to do it.
Sure. And it depends on savviness.
Yeah.
You need to be a bit more savvy to do it your way. And I can certainly see ways, but I think for the average user, the other way is simpler.
But I get calls all the time from, that's one of the reasons and big things we do on the show. People call, I'm now in England and my phone is full. Okay, upload to OneDrive. Once it says up to date, go in and delete all the videos from your phone that you don't feel the need to keep to show everybody as you go around England. Now you got all your space back after you emptied the recently deleted. And keep doing that throughout the trip, knowing that every single photo and video you took is on OneDrive and you can go through later and curate them. And if you're on Microsoft 365, you don't have to curate them because you've now used 127 of your 1,000 gigs.
I don't think it comes down to storage. I think it comes down to mental load. When I want to go through and see my photos, I don't want it to be bloated. I want it to just be like the nice moments that I've culled it down to already.
And that's on your phone. But all the rest, the bloated version is over there in case you want to go and make a better presentation.
You're going to have to deal with that because I'm seeing the size of people's photos libraries. And my video, I shoot 4K 60 frames per second for Milo, and like a minute video is a few gigs. And so we've upped our iCloud storage for that reason.
There you go. I hope our debate has helped you decide which version of Gary's
Gary, where are you in all this?
What I find really interesting about this conversation is, and I've showed you a couple of the pictures, my sister and family in Nova Scotia, I guess they found some of Mom's photo albums and have gone through them and have started uploading into, we have a Facebook group for the family in Germany and here in Canada.
Nice, yeah.
And uploaded some of those photos. And in doing all of that, it just reminds me of how it used to be fun just to sit as a family and go through a photo album and the memories that came with that. And looking at some of these old pictures where, there's one where I'm 2.5 years old. I look like my grandson who looks like my daughter who looks, and I'm trying to get a picture of my dad when he was that age.
Yeah.
So I can actually put a picture together of the four of us at the same age.
That's very cool.
But to actually sit down and look at those old pictures instead of sliding through a phone.
We literally did with friends when we came back from Hawaii. We just screen share, put it up on the big screen TV, and our friends came over and we showed them the highlights. Yeah. The highlights, not the bloated.
That's the nice thing.
Not the 126,000 pictures.
No, yeah. I created a separate folder called Hawaii 2024, and I just put about 100 highlight photos and videos in there out of everything else that we took. Anyway, quick break. We're way overdue for break. 10 before the hour as we roll on here. Okay, debate parked over in the corner for a while here. Bruce texted in, is the Canada passport picture still black and white? We renewed a few months ago and were surprised by the switch to black and white pictures in the passport. Yes, Jax, who got his urgent passport literally 2 days before we left. No, he picked it up Monday. We left on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yes, it's a black and white passport photo because using the digital biometric technology, when your passport is scanned, not just in Canada or the U.S., but any country, they see a big color photo of you on the screen. So they can tell if your eye color matches. But the photo in the passport is black and white now.
Still deliver them a color photo.
They
upload that, and then they just publish the passport with the black and white.
Black and white. But when anybody uses it, when they either stripe it through the machine or they put it, there's a biometric chip in it now.
Mm-hmm.
Even on the older ones, there's a biometric chip in the back cover. You can't feel it, but it's there. And beep, and it shows them the full color. So that's why the black and white, in case you're wondering. Good question. Okay, whole bunch of ones here that I'm still trying to figure out. Fran, I've texted you back saying, I'm sorry, I don't understand what you're asking about with your typing text, so can you please type me a longer text and we'll see if we can figure that one out.
We do have Robert on the line with a problem with his landline.
Okay, hi Robert, welcome to Tech Talk, happy Easter.
Happy Easter, Alan.
How can we help?
Sure. I found a small problem. You might know about it already, but it's reoccurred with my wife and myself. We use a landline for communication.
Yes.
We don't use cell phones.
Oh, wow.
And like thousands of people here in Victoria. And a medical clinic that my wife was lucky enough to get a become a patient of a general practitioner uses cell phones, and when they want to contact people, they use their cell phones and they block their calling name and number.
That's correct. Even if they're calling from a landline, clinics will block the private number, yes.
Yes, and the only way to get around it, Shaw has to go in and turn spam off.
That's correct. You have to ask Rogers to do that, yes.
And that's inconvenient, and because everybody else calls from their cell phones or their landlines, and it all goes through.
Yeah, but you can just simply ask Rogers to turn the spam blocking off for you.
Yes, yes, I did.
And the same thing if you're on TELUS, they have that thing where you have to press a digit in order before it rings on your phone. You can turn that off as well.
Yeah, I was coming home from shopping listening to your show, and I thought that would be a good thing to remind people, because there's an awful lot of people who the doctors in town don't want to give away their home phone numbers.
Or their private number inside their office, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and that's why. Yeah, that's really important. You mentioned that you don't have cell phones. You can come and hit me, but you only have a year or two, and then landlines will, they're not landlines anymore, they're home phones. They run over the internet now. They will be gone. So please get somebody to help you and get migrated onto a mobile phone while you can still do it on your terms and keep your number, because the date, the clock is ticking. And there's a very small percentage of people. I help dozens of people a week, and I would say probably, I would say the majority now, probably somewhere around 60% no longer have a home phone. And I'm talking seniors. Younger people can't even imagine having a home phone, but I'm talking people 60, 70, 80. I would say we're well in the majority. So please, before it gets something that gets foisted on you and causes a lot of stress, please get somebody to help you. And it's not a question about spending money, because in most cases, the mobile phone service will be cheaper.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then you're not paying for something that doesn't work when you're out.
Really, because we got one advantage when they switched, Rogers bought out Shaw.
Yep.
We had two free cell phones. They're flip phones, so they're not, they're used as telephones, not as baby computers.
Yep.
And the flip phones, when Shaw started it, for their customers, didn't charge you anything.
That's right.
All across Canada.
And that's still honored for another 4 years, $0.
Yeah, I've got those.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, I understand. I got to take a break for the news. I'll talk to you off the air. But I know it's hard making that change, but that's a really, really important one. That's like holding on to the outhouse. They have this thing called the flush toilet. No, I want to keep the outhouse. It's that significant a deal in your life. Hour one is going by quickly, but we'll be back with hour number two after the news. By the way, bottom of our show notes, the sign is rather apropos, our sign of the week. It's perfect for Brian this week. Go down to the very bottom. We're going to add in a couple photos. Gary found, you were talking about the old photos, Gary, from 1963. It's off color, black and white, so we've restored it and colorized, and Brian's going to pop those into the bottom of the show notes below the pictures of me and the teens. From our Hawaii trip there. There's also some great homework videos that we'll talk about in the second hour. One quick one on the way to break. Disney Plus has a new logo reflecting its buyout of Hulu in the USA. No more royal blue. It's now gone to teal green. Mm-hmm. The only reason I mentioned it is a couple said, does this mean we get Hulu in Canada? No, Hulu was NBC's parent company, Comcast. It was one of their streaming service. Disney Plus bought it for $8.7 billion. So in Canada, the Disney Plus content bar remains unchanged. Disney, Pixar, Marvel, Star Wars, National Geographic, and Star. In the U.S., they get Hulu added, and they get all of that content. Most of it was already available in Canada under stars. So the only change for Canada is no more royal blue, now teal green. Item 20 in the show notes, if you care. And we are still waiting for the details. Several of you texted and emailed while I was in Hawaii. The $14.4 million battery gate settlement. The website has been updated only to say that the claims period will commence on a date to be determined. They're still working out all the details, of which there are many.
Yes, including how much the lawyers are going to take first.
Yes. So you're still going to need the serial number, it appears, in order to get the maximum money. There may be a system where you can vouch for, I had one, but I don't have my serial number, and they may give you $17. Stay tuned. But that's coming. I check it every week, but that's the answer there.
Now, Tech Talk with Alan Perry on CFAX 1070.
It's the second half of our Easter long weekend edition. Glad to have you along. We are live with you on Saturday, March 30th, Sunday afternoon, the final day of the month, the 31st, is a rebroadcast. And then Brian's working away when we don't distract him, which is very easy for us to do, on making a podcast for you, which I suspect many of you will be listening to, whatever fits into your schedules this long weekend. If you're just tuning in, we is myself,
Gary Beyer from Tesseract 2.0.
And I'm Brian Pavlicek, your Tech Talk producer.
So a couple things to catch up on from last hour. So we were talking to Robert about having the phone calls being blocked when they come in from doctor's offices. Diane texted in very kindly, pointing out that if you have a Rogers landline, which would be Shaw formerly, hit *60, and that will turn off the spam blocking. And that will stay off until you do that. As she says, the weasels now use physical phone numbers, so unfortunately blocking doesn't do much good anyway. And that's another reason. The CRTC, Canada's broadcast regulator, ordered the mobile phone companies, Rogers, TELUS, Bell, Freedom, to put in technology to block spam numbers on mobile phones. That was very expensive for them to do. They didn't want to do it. They got ordered upwards of $25 million on that. It's called STIR/SHAKEN, two acronyms. You can look it up if you care. And then they said, you need to do that for home phones too. And they said, but those are going away. We don't want to spend all that money for technology. And the CRTC said, okay, you're right. So you're going to get way more spam calls on a home phone than you are on a mobile phone. Yes, you'll still get a few. The weasels are very smart, and they find sneaky ways around this, but they do get shut down. You can report them, report the number if you do that. But that's a good one there, yes. So if you are new to having medical issues, congratulations on having made it this far. Yeah. But especially if you're on TELUS or Rogers, it's important that you make sure you turn off that feature, and then you will have to hopefully temporarily, answer the calls from the unknown numbers, because that's what that one is there. A couple of things that are in the show notes there. I updated the travel tech tips with a few things that we discovered, including the one we mentioned last hour about the new Freedom Roam Beyond. So the travel tech tips are all updated as well. They're a separate tab in the show notes, but we also put them, because we updated them, we put them into the show notes itself at item number 10. Couple scam things we love keeping you abreast of what these updated. Watch out for fake Canada Post undelivered package texts. These ones look good. Item 1 in the show notes at tech-talk.ca. I put in there, Canada Post, your package arrived at the warehouse but could not be delivered due to incomplete address information. Please confirm your address in the link. And the link is canadapost.helpfn.top. Yeah.
What's your first clue?
Well, if you click on it, it looks very nice. Yep. It looks like Canada Post, the proper logo, the font and everything looks right. And it says, please provide a valid shipping address. The correct address will ensure that your package is delivered correctly and on time. You put in your first and last name, your address. It says, okay, click here. And then it says online payment. Please note that an incorrect address may prevent your package from being delivered and additional charges may apply. You must pay these fees as soon as possible and your package will be redelivered as soon as possible. During this period, your package will be temporarily stored. And if you do that, you just have to give them your credit card. It's $1.03 is the charge they want.
Yeah.
If you give them your credit card info within minutes,
going to be maxed out.
Yep, they're dinging up charges all around the world. Don't do it. Now, the reason I put this in here, because the lady sent this to me, and she goes, but what do I do? Because I am expecting a couple packages, and they're overdue. And I said, okay, so go into the merchant that bought it and get your tracking number. And most cases, you can click right on the tracking number, and it takes you directly there.
That's right.
And she found that one was waiting at the border, and the other one was expected the next day. Okay? And one of the clues, if you really think that one of these messages is real, one of the clues is it's never addressed to you by name. It never says what the contents of the package are. It never says who the sender is. These are just generic texts being spammed out from overseas trying to get money. And then you'll end up having to get your credit card canceled and then tell all the utilities.
Fighting with your credit card company.
Yeah, at some point.
Because you're the one who gave it to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At some point, the credit card companies are going to get fed up and start being more stringent about saying, yeah, okay, money back, card canceled, new one coming in the mail. So there you go. If you have a Mac, item number 3 in the show notes, beware of fake Clean My Mac installers, Brian, that will infect your Mac. Clean My Mac is very popular software from MacPaw.
Yeah.
But they've discovered that scammers have been using YouTube channels and paid web search results to infect Macs with a fake version that installs malware. This one's really easy. Only download software directly from the App Store or from the official website.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
And the problem there is that if you search for MacPaw, somebody says, hey, there's this great Clean My Mac. So you search, it doesn't matter whether you use Google, Bing, Yahoo, whatever, you're going to find that a lot of them are not MacPaw. They are somebody else giving you a fake version of Clean My Mac.
Yeah, they've done their SEO or worse with Google, they're a scam, and they're just paying to be a sponsored ad at the top of the list saying, oh, hey, by the way, we're MacPaw.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've seen people go and search for Apple support. A Google ad shows up and saying, we're Apple support. And meanwhile, they get them on the line. They get their credit card info, blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
So this last one was also one that I got a text while I was in Hawaii and so followed up with it. If you are getting, because this lady said, hey, I've got about 9 things popping up on my screen of my iPad saying reset password. Use this iPad to reset your Apple ID password. Do not allow or allow. And I said, well, are you changing your password? She goes, no, I use your formula. It's all good. And I go, okay. So that's somebody who's trying to hack into your account.
Yep.
Yeah.
She goes, but I got 7 or 8 of them. And I go, yeah, wow. They're kind of hoping that at some point your finger is either going to slip and hit allow, or you're going to get frustrated that you're getting so many. This is a glitch in the system. It's called MFA bombing, multi-factor authentication bombing. And they are counting on you getting annoyed. And so on the 17th one in an hour, you might say, oh, the only way to make this go away is click allow.
But the allow is just the first step. Then you get your 6-digit verification code, or it says, okay, prove it's you by inputting this. Like, they would have to go through the steps. They can't just hit allow to let someone else in, I don't believe.
No, they do. It's popping up on your phone to allow.
You still need to verify it.
No, that's the verification. They're sending the verification to your device to prove it's you doing it.
Yeah.
And if you click on allow, there's no code. That's it. When you click on allow, you gave the person on the other end the ability. It pops up reset password. And they put in the new password, and now they've got your account, and you don't. That's the two-factor.
Just for password reset, the two-factor doesn't require a code, because every other thing does. Like, you sign into iCloud for the first time on a device, it's like,
this is instead of the code.
Yuck.
So it's somebody knocking on your door saying, can I have the keys to your car, please?
You hand it to them.
And you don't. And then they knock on the door 10 seconds later, can I have the keys to your car, please? And they're gambling that on the 17th or 18th or 27th try. So what we're guessing Apple is going to do is they will put in a lockout that limits the number of password resets you can trigger without a successful reset within a minute or 2 minutes or whatever. They're aware of this. But anyway, so now you know a new phrase, unfortunately, MFA bombing, multi-factor authentication bombing. If you get those pop-ups,
don't allow.
Don't. Yeah, there you go. Okay. And a couple quick ones I'll just mention in passing. A couple on the good guys' side. Gary, police in Northern Ireland seized more than 20,000 fake iPhones, AirPods, and other counterfeit tech items, about £600,000 worth of stuff.
Not bad.
A couple people arrested. And the leader of the counterfeit Apple crime ring, sentenced to more than 4 years in prison, also has to forfeit two homes that he bought with the proceeds. They figured out how to game the system. So that's all in there. If you care, items 5 and 6 in the show notes. What's on your mind?
Not much, actually. it's Easter long weekend. How about the Department of Justice going after Apple?
Yeah, so this is one that Kyle and Brian talked about last weekend while I was away. And basically they're antitrust, saying Apple is refuting every single claim. And I thought it was well written, saying the claims are either based on outdated info or misrepresentations of Apple's business model.
No, what it reminds me of, when Apple and others managed to get Microsoft lawsuits going mm-hmm. because of Internet Explorer 5
yep.
being monopolizing everything that was going on. So, I mean, the tables are turning here. Apple has been many times accused of using its power, its
yep.
platform, to monopolize how things are done. And I'm pretty sure Department of Justice is going to be at least partially successful in this one.
I'm not sure. For example, one of the things, the Department of Justice says Apple's share exceeds 65% in the U.S. based on revenue. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
But Apple points out, yes, but we have less than half the U.S. market based on unit sales. So if you're going to say that we're the dominant player in terms of phones out there, that's only based on dollar value, not based on number of phones. More than half the stuff that's out there is not Apple. So we're the biggest, but we're not.
Yeah, they're
not the majority.
They are not the majority based on a few percentage points. While they are the one player in the iPhone market,
yeah,
but the smartphone market is then on the other side split up between how many different players?
Yeah, exactly.
So you've got Xiaomi might have 1%.
Yeah. Samsung.
Lenovo, which yeah. this phone I'm using is brilliant.
Yeah.
But I'm probably the only one on the island that has one right now.
Yeah.
So the percentages are Apple is the dominant one.
Yeah.
And very much like Internet Explorer 5 was when there was still, Lycos, Alta Vista, you know, all of the small players.
Yeah.
And Microsoft was nailed for being the biggest.
I thought the best thing in Apple's refuting here, they denied that they're making it more difficult for users to switch to competing products. There is an app that Apple made to allow you to switch from an iPhone to an Android and move everything over.
Yeah,
things
I know.
Like that.
I used it.
Apple says the reason most people don't switch, and Brian will testify to this, it's because they love Apple's products and the way the system works.
Yeah, once you're in that ecosystem, and especially if you have multiple devices from there, I just love it. Things just sync so seamlessly. And as a family. Family sharing, purchases of apps and media. If you're all fully in that ecosystem, it works beautifully.
Apple also refutes the Department of Justice's accusation that it blocked super apps. It says, hey, Facebook, WeChat, Line, all of which are available for iOS users, and they're fully featured. So we'll see where this one goes. This is not going to be resolved itself in the next few months. We're talking a few years, but it is a big one there. One of the ones that I got a call about while I was in Hawaii, and I explained, and I said, I'll be back. I'll look it up while I'm waiting at the airport and have an answer for you when I get back, was how to lock. This fellow does a whole lot of financial stuff on his phone. He does crypto and investment mm-hmm. and all sorts of other stuff, but his kids do use the phone. They're not of the age to the point where they have their own phone yet. He says maybe another year. He's really worried that they might oops and do something. Mm-hmm. And these apps don't have locks on them all. Some do, some don't. So I was going to contact Brian. I thought, while I'm in the airport, I'll do this homework. And I found an app. It's called App Lock. It's not by Apple. Maybe Apple will add this in, but right now it's an App Lock by Lilucat. And basically it allows you to instantly set whatever apps you want to lock. So the moment you go away from them, it locks them automatically, and you have to use, in his case, face, but it could be fingerprint mm-hmm. or even passcode on that. And you can turn apps on or off. That these ones, I want them to lock, these ones I don't. It also, if you want, makes it so that the app totally disappears from the phone. So you can't even see there. Brian, when you go to the app library, where you can always see all the apps on your phone,
right?
You can make it disappear from the app library. So the only way you would be able to see or use that app is to go into the App Lock app. It uses the screen time service.
Oh, wow.
But other, unlike Screen Time itself that can say, no, you're only allowed to use that app for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
This one, instantly, the moment you go away from the screen,
oh,
it's gone and it disappears. So depending on what you're doing in your life.
Yeah.
But especially for the financial ones.
Mm-mm.
And you can also go in and get all the financial apps with one switch. It'll lock all the financial apps.
Oh, cool.
You don't have to go into this one, this one, this one, this one, because it knows they're categorized by Apple.
I find it's brilliant that that app is there. What I find a little bit concerning is that someone would let their children use a product that has all of their financial information on it. It's not only the apps that could be locked out. The phone or tablet or computer can get broken. I had one situation, I think it was 4 or 5 years ago, where someone came in, let their kids use, they had let their kids use their laptop, which had a lot of information on it.
Yeah.
Well, sadly, the kids spilled orange juice all over the laptop, and it fried everything. We couldn't get it. There was zero information we could get off of it.
Did they have cloud backup?
We were lucky there.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
We were very lucky. But I had to explain to them, you shouldn't be doing this. No, even if it's get your kids a kiddie tablet for $100, make sure you're keeping your personal work away from.
I didn't ask Jim, the fellow I was talking to, none of my business, but I sort of sense that this is a split up relationship and they co-parent the kids. And so it's a compromise with what mom wanted and the agreements on how they stay in touch. So they do FaceTime to stay in touch and all. Anyway, I put it into the show notes. It's a free 3-day trial, so you can check it out.
Cool.
And then it's $40 a year after that.
That's not bad.
Maybe, Brian, Apple will add this kind of service into the Screen Time feature that they've already got and give this, and then we wouldn't need an app like this. But in the meantime, it's really good, and it's instantaneous there. So I put a link to it. There are a bunch of others. When you go and search for App Lock on the App Store, there are a bunch of very similar ones. So I've actually given you, please, if it's something you're interested in, please look at item 18 in the show notes at tech-talk.ca and use the icon that's there.
Brings up an interesting question. When you bring your phone across the border and the border security says, we want access to your phone.
Yes. So if that was the concern, let's say you use medicinal cannabis oil for arthritis or something, which is legal in the United States, in most states, legal in Canada, but not at the border, then what you could do is you would just simply hide all of these apps. You are required by law to unlock your phone for that.
If asked, yes.
You are not required to unlock anything within your phone.
Interesting.
Yeah. So if you wanted, you could actually use App Lock to lock your messages app. So they wouldn't be able to see your text. Now, if they are suspicious, they could then say, we think you're up to something. We're not letting you in. They are God at the border.
They are.
Going both ways. But yeah, but that one, so something like that. I hadn't even thought of that one. That's a really useful one there. Okay. One other one we'll just mention in that you might find useful here. Oh, you do a break, Brian? Do we need a break?
We are. Yes. Yeah, we do have one.
Okay, when we come back, Microsoft has added several useful new features to its Edge web browser. We will go through those. I think even if you don't like change, you will like a couple of these. 24 after the hour, Dave and Pat and Marlene get to you on the phones in just a sec. Among the videos that I found waiting for you that you had sent me is, Brian's is going to put a caller on hold to help us out with this one. Here is a song, the late John Denver classic, but done by Austin Milne as a sea shanty.
Growing like a breeze, country roads, take me home to the place. Where I belong, West Virginia, Mountain Mama, take me home, country road.
If you watch the video, you see you can actually see him overdubbing himself in there. That is item number 46 in the show notes. We'll come back to more of that. So just before we get back to the phone calls, this might be something that I think many of you would like. We're big fans of Microsoft Edge browser because it does give you an edge on other browsers out there. But they've, Gary, they've put in some, they keep updating it every week. And this time they've put in a bunch of significant ones. I've highlighted them with links to all the individual features in item 11 in the show notes.
There are some cool ones. Obviously, the easiest one or the best one for a lot of people is Magnify.
Yes.
Just hover over what you are looking at and hit Control twice.
Yeah.
And there it is.
No need to open new tabs or download the image to see a larger version. They've also put in mobile upload, which lets you seamlessly send files from your mobile device right to a website on your PC. Mm-hmm. So if you've got the picture on your phone, you don't use OneDrive or don't want to go to iCloud.com and do that, but you want to use it, you want to insert it into something on the PC, then you can instantly do that. They've also put Enhance Video Tool. I tried it last night. It took me a while to find a crappy quality.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I ended up doing was actually using YouTube and manually lowering the resolution.
Okay.
And then using the Enhance Video Tool, and it makes them a lot more clear and more vibrant. So if you tend to watch stuff that's not the greatest quality, then that one is in there. And the last one is Edge Drop, that lets you share files and messages between your phone and desktop devices. Really valuable if you have an iPhone and you have a Windows
yep.
computer. So links to all that are in item number 11 in the show notes. You can download Microsoft Edge for Windows and Mac OS computers, and there are separate app versions for iPhones, iPads, and Android devices. Okay, back to the phone lines and Dave. Hi, Dave. Happy Easter.
Same to you, Alan. Thanks very much.
How can we help?
We just came back from New Zealand a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and when we were there, I wanted to order some food from a restaurant to be delivered. And I was using my Capital One credit card.
Yes.
And normally what they would do is they would send a code by Gmail to verify that it was really me. They've stopped doing that now, and they will only send a code by text, which is great if you have a phone number when you're out of the country. But I was using Arelo, as you know.
Yes.
So I had to get someone else to do the ordering. It wouldn't work. Do you know any way around this?
Well, yes. One is switch away from Capital One. I'm not being facetious. If you do this a lot, some people have. The major banks in Canada, Royal, TD, Nova Scotia, BMO, they now offer a verification system where if you cannot receive a text, they will let you hold up a piece of ID next to your face, and a human at the other end will then verify that it is you, and those services will resume working.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, most of the major banks, I don't know about all of them. It's right now it's only banks. Down the road, I think you will see the credit unions start to do that because they contract out that service.
Okay.
And maybe Capital One will get with the program, but they tend to be the sort of the budget one. They're the last one to add in these features.
I think you'll find that they may move a little faster in the future. With a certain buyout that they did of a different card company, they are now the largest credit card company in the world.
Yeah, they bought Discover.
That's right.
Yeah, that one's coming down the road. Good question. Awesome. Thanks, Dave. Hope you had a great trip. Back with more after this.
Now, Tech Talk with Alan Perry on CFAX 1070.
Along with Gary Beyer from Tesseract Computers, Brian Pavlicic, and myself, one of the questions that came up while I was away last week was people, Brian, wanting to know about when the new iPads are coming out.
Yes, well, yeah, we were waiting. We were expecting an announcement on Tuesday, which they pushed back.
Yes.
And now they're talking about a release in April for iPad Pro and iPad Air.
Apparently, the issue is that the new Pros and Airs are going to have OLED, which is much richer color screens.
Oh, the Air as well?
Yeah.
That's new? That's
apparently
new then.
Well, again, nothing official. This is just reading between the tea leaves.
Mark Grumman?
He's very reputable on this. So OLED, organic light-emitting diode screens. And because they're having, it's harder to make those, so it takes longer, and the quality control needs to be higher because they are, in a sense, grown. If you know the organic side of it. So they're now thinking that they're going to delay the launch of the whole lineup, including the base model and the iPad mini new models, until the end of April, and then they would be available in early May.
Oh, so there was a rumor about iPad, regular iPad and iPad mini.
Yeah.
There's a comment on that, because before there was nothing.
Yeah. Again, it's all just rumors, but that's our expectation. So what I wrote into the show notes, item number 10, is if you want a new iPad, We suggest you wait a bit longer for the new ones, as they're expected to all be significantly more powerful than the current models, and most stores don't have any stock anyway. Two of you, thank you for keeping us on our toes, and pointed out that Staples not only has stock on the current models, but they are on sale. So the 10th generation is on for $100 off. The 9th generation is on for $80 off. So that's a good deal. iPads don't normally come on sale, but you know, you can phone us up and yell at us later. The new ones are expected, and again, it's just a rumor, but the new ones are expected to be significantly more powerful. The pros are going to get the new M3 chip that they're putting in MacBooks. The base model will go up one chip, but that chip going up A16 to A17, I think. They're all substantial, not little tiny
improvements. No, it's quite an improvement.
Yeah, so if budget is a concern, then yeah, grab one now while Staples has them.
And frankly, if you're just using it for normal everyday life, grab one now.
Yeah, I would grab the 10th gen. Yeah. I would hold off on getting the 9th because these are going to be 11ths, so that'll be a noticeable difference even for basic stuff. So yeah, save the money while it's on sale. The 10th gen is, as I say, $100 off, $499. The 9th gen is $449 down to $379. So that's
it. It is a good price.
Thank you to those of you that that pointed out that there are the sailings. I put a link into the whole page of all of them. Every model is on sale. So Staples obviously gambled.
It's clear out time.
Yeah, and they would do that. Pretty well all the other stores already thought it was coming this month, March, and so they are down to negligible stock there. But thank you for pointing that out, that those are available there. Okay, back to the phone lines. And Steen, happy Easter, Steen.
Oh, hi, Al.
How you doing?
Pretty good, thanks. And you?
Good.
Good. A quick question for Gary. He sold me a Lenovo T580 unit about three or four years ago, and I think I need to replace the battery. And I'm wondering if he can help me out with that next week.
That would be not a problem at all, Steen. I can get batteries for those, and the T580 actually uses two batteries in it. So what I would want to do is actually get you to bring the laptop in. We'll run the battery tests on it to make sure we're going to get the battery that is the most worn out, and we'll see how good the second battery is.
Is it worth replacing the battery for Steen, or would it be better spent to get a newer laptop?
No, the T580 is still an amazing machine. It's a an eighth gen Core i5.
Oh, yeah. Oh, in that case, no problem.
Full 1080p screen. It's USB-C charging and USB-C out. I mean, it's got all of the latest toys.
Yeah.
So, no, that's a laptop that Steen should be able to get another, 4 or 5 years out of, no problem.
And ballpark price on the battery for that?
I can't ballpark because I have to know exactly which model it is. They did actually have 3 or 4 different batteries they put into those.
There you go. All right. So, yeah, stop.
Going to bring it in Monday or Tuesday?
Either day is great.
Are you open?
No, we're open on Monday, so if you want to pop it in, absolutely.
Easter Monday, he's not taking the day off. All right, there you go. Happy Easter, Steen.
He's open Easter Monday, right?
Yeah, we'll be open Monday and obviously the rest of the week.
Yeah, awesome.
Thanks, Gary.
Okay, Steen, we'll see you soon.
Cheers. Thank you. There you go. Yeah, that's a really good question. If you go down to the bottom of the show notes, you will see that Brian has put in a photo from, you have to tell us who's in the first photo, the black and white photo.
Let me just refresh. Oh, yeah, of course, page not found, it says.
Down to photo restoration. Well, he's doing that. So there's
Give me half a sec.
Yeah, Gary and family.
Well, it's only part of the family.
Yes.
That picture was taken somewhere in 62, 63. Here it is. Look at that. So the original picture, you're going to see top to bottom and left to right, obviously, my father without his beard, one of the few pictures in the world without his beard.
Yeah.
My mom on the left-hand side bottom is my older brother, Chuck. There's myself in the center and my younger brother, Rod. My sister hadn't been born yet. And
you figure that was 1963?
It looks like I'm about 2 and a bit in that picture, and my younger brother looks like he's about 1, not even. So, yeah, it would be 62, 63.
And the photo below it, I've restored using Deoldify, which comes from MyHeritage, which is a DNA site, but because people are...
Yeah.
Not DNA, Ancestry site. Ancestry site. Things like that, so...
Now, there's while the colorization looks good, what I do have to say about it is the eyes are all wrong.
Right.
Every one of us has blue eyes.
So, but, and of course, the older the photo, particularly when it's black and white, the harder it is for guests that. But so that's one of the things we tell people. When you colorize old photos, they're not historically accurate. You can use programs like Photoshop, which uses Sensei AI, and then you can tap on the eye color.
Right. And change that to a blue.
And change that one. But this is just the free one. Anyway, I just thought that you would be interested in seeing. Thanks for letting us share that photo. Oh, it's good memories there.
It is, actually.
Yeah. There we go. Using the old, I'll put the proper link into the notes. That'll appear for the rest of you in just a sec. I have to refresh the page and do that, but I just thought we would do that. Okay, more texts here. Oh, we were talking to, I think it was Robert, about having a home phone from Roger Shaw and then the $0 mobile plan, but he doesn't really use it, just a flip phone. And so a couple of you had said, and I'd said, well, drop the home phone and move it over to one of the mobiles. And so a couple of you texted to say, if we drop Shaw home phone service from Rogers Shaw, does it impact our free Shaw mobile service that moved over to Rogers at $0? You said any changes to our Shaw services and we would lose our 4 to 5 years free. Okay, so that's a really important question. Mm-hmm. So two things. First of all, it's only if you change your mobile service plan that then you lose the zero or the $10 plan. Except on the home service, if you drop Rogers Internet. You can drop Rogers TV, you can drop Rogers home phone, no problem. The condition on getting the $0 or $10 plan from Rogers Mobile, formerly Shaw, is that you must keep Rogers Internet. That's a really good question there. There we go. Okay, so that's an important one there. Oh, and that was Murray asking about the new iPad, so we answered that one. That is in the show notes there. A couple more texts in here to get to.
I can interrupt.
Yes, please.
While I don't have a special, what I do want to say is that stay tuned because I'm going to be working again with Santa's Anonymous.
You've done a lot of great work.
We're going to be launching a little bit of a program, probably a soft launch May 1st. I can't say much about it right now. But it's going to involve, well, obviously, other people's help. And we're going to try and get some computers into hands of people that need them.
Awesome. What are you thinking? How soon?
May 1st soft launch.
Yeah.
That'll be the first one that we're going to work with. And then everything right through to Christmas. And we'll see how that goes.
Awesome.
Stay tuned on the CFAX webpage, CFAX Santa's webpage, and on mine.
I want to know. Awesome. Okay. 19 before the hour, Pat and Marlene. Hang in there on the phone lines. We'll take your calls when we come back after a break. We roll on for our Easter long weekend edition. Just before we get back to the phone lines, Fran, we found the answer. Fran had texted in saying, when I'm typing in my... See if Brian knows this one, because I didn't. I had to look it up. When I'm typing in my text box on my iPhone, it says letters out loud. It does not do it when I voice text. Sorry I missed your text earlier. I'm preparing my turkey, but sure I've been listening to the show. I love it. Thanks.
Says letters out loud. Yeah, I don't understand what that's.
So if you go into anybody else, if maybe this would be handy for you, but depending on vision whatsoever, if you go into settings, accessibility, spoken content, and there's a new section that says typing feedback, Brian. Take a look at that one. Settings, accessibility, spoken content, typing feedback. And then you can get characters, character hints, speak words, speak auto text, hold to speak prediction. So I'm guessing what's happened is, Fran, you somehow accidentally turned on characters. So when you type them, I'm going to try this.
Can you tell me how to get here again? I'm in accessibility.
And then go down to spoken content.
Oh, spoken, yeah.
And then typing feedback.
Okay.
And when I turned on character feedback, it says character feedback delay, and there's a second of 0.00 seconds. So I'll set it for 0.1 seconds. So when I go to text now,
S-A.
There it is.
D.
Oh, I can do it to you here.
A L A N E F O.
Okay. That's supposed to be hello. Okay. So it actually is speaking them out loud.
Yeah. So if your vision is not great and you're worried that you're typing the wrong things,
I'd rather it say the word at the end, frankly.
Well, then turn on speak word.
Oh, that was the next one in there.
Yeah.
Weird.
So out of solving a problem for you, Fran, maybe somebody else is going to go, oh, hallelujah.
The accessibility options are incredible. I love how many things there are. I use a handful of them myself.
Yeah.
If you set up the shortcut for like visibility so that you can switch to like inverted screen or change the brightness for vision problems. But I use it for, you can do low brightness because at night, if you're reading like to go to sleep like I do on my phone, it's way too bright. It's like burning your eyeballs. It's casting shadows in a dark room.
Yeah.
So you can go and set, you can use the accessibility options in there to set it to low brightness. And it's just like just perfect for reading in the dark.
Yeah. So I will put that in the show notes for next week for anybody else, and I'll phrase it more correctly and do that, but that's a good one.
Something I said I would mention at the beginning of the show from a caller is just to remind people that today, Saturday, is the last day to vote for Hockeyville, and the winners will be announced, I think, tonight at the hockey game.
Yeah.
So Ender BBC, I'm not following any of this, so I don't know, but we just wanted to make sure people know because, you know, there's a BC rink that's in the running, so.
Yes, Enderby.
Last day to vote.
Unless you were from another province and want to vote for a different one. Back to the phone lines and Pat. Hi, Pat. Thanks for waiting.
Hi, Alan. You were mentioning about in a year or so, the landlines are going to be a thing of the past. A question. We have several phones in our home, you know, because we're seniors.
Yeah.
And will we have to buy three new cell phones?
No. What you can do if you want, they sell them now at Costco is unfortunately a much better deal than at London Drugs. You can get a set of home phones that pair with your mobile phone. So whenever somebody calls your mobile, it's called Bluetooth Link, and all the home phones will ring. And you can pick up the home phone and it will dial through your mobile phone as long as it's in the house somewhere.
Okay, so then the next question, I have a cell phone that I rarely use. It's with Koodo, is that how you pronounce it? Koodo, and it has a different number. I wonder if I call them if they'll can give, you know, because all our friends for years have our landline number.
Yeah, that's called porting, and you can go down to a Koodo kiosk or store, and they will port the number over so that the home number will now become the mobile number.
Oh, terrific.
You're welcome. That's a really, really good question, Pat, and it's going to be a tough transition for some people. Gary, the reason that a lot of us kept our home phones, we called them landlines, because they were the copper wire.
That's right.
That came in.
Copper wire twisted pair.
Yeah, and we kept that because that would work in the event of power outage.
Yeah.
But a lot of people miss this very, very important change going back a year or two. Shaw, then, now Rogers, and Telus both switched over to VoIP, Voice Over Internet Protocol. And if you had Telus, they actually said, hey, we need to come and run a little fiber optic thing in and put a little box in the wall. No cost to you.
Yeah, they went to a full fiber backbone, and then everybody started being hooked up to the nodes. Now, if there's a power outage, some areas will not have phones.
The majority won't. Some will.
Yeah.
On the Telus system.
Wherever they put in the battery backup systems.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's it. And whereas the cell towers now, by requirement of the CRTC, have to have emergency battery and generators to keep them going, because that's now the default. That's what will work. So even if they're, like if we get the earthquake, well, then we're screwed anyway, but to be blunt. But yeah, that's the system that will work.
Mr. Sunshine.
Yeah, well, no.
So here's the question that goes with that. When we're looking at businesses, so I run a two-line override right now.
Yes.
It's a VoIP phone, obviously. It's a two-line override. Are they going to force me to go to two separate cellular numbers?
Yeah, that's the devil is
Is the bay now going to have 30 different cellular numbers?
Yeah. Or will they come up with a hybrid system that will work on that? That's why this isn't happening sooner. But when you stop and think about it, if you take out the emotion tied to the change and you stop and think about it, the home phone only works at home.
Mm-hmm.
So in our case, with Suzanne and myself and the students, they have to, one of us has to be home, and which one of us is home? If they want Suzanne and I answer the phone, no, well, she's out. So everybody just has their own mobile number. And so if I want Gary, I call Gary. If I want Justin, I call Justin. If I want, you know.
Oh, this is, I mean, in emerging nations 20, 25, 30 years ago, when analog was still where cell phones were, emerging nations were not putting up telephone poles.
Yeah.
Everything was cellular. So in some ways, some of the emerging nations are way ahead of where we were.
Exactly. So we're playing catch up. So I know it's a tough one for many of you because we're just used to that. But Pat's question was a really good one.
It was.
If the idea, and that's probably the easiest thing. So even though we gave you the answer there, Pat, you can move the mobile home number over to the mobile. Before you go and buy a set of five home phones, and this is the toughest one, and this is a sexist one, this is for women. You need different fashions because you need a pocket. A lot of women's pants don't have pockets.
It's true.
Now, anything you buy today, in most cases, will. But if you really like your clothes and you like to keep them, then yeah, I've had several clients that I've helped on the technical side with the cell phone part, but then their daughters come out and help them go and buy a new wardrobe.
Yeah.
And in many cases, it's not new. They'll go to Value Village or...
Yeah, just need a pocket.
What's the other one? Salvation Army Thrift Store, and just make sure they get stuff with pockets. That's just standard anywhere else in the world. Yeah. Guys, do not carry the phone in your shirt pocket.
Jumps out too easily.
And guess where it jumps out into? Huh? The toilet. Yeah. The crew at Black Apple Cellular. You keep them in business by doing that. Now, the modern phones... You know, the newer Android and iPhones, they are very, very waterproof for a period of time. But if they go into the toilet that's got yellow stuff in it, then that's uric acid, and it still needs
corrosive,
to be needs to be cleaned. And it's hard to take the phone out and put it under the tap, but that's what you need.
They would say the other one's just a crappy deal.
Okay. On that note, we'll take our final break, back with our final segment after this. Final few minutes of our Easter long weekend edition here. So playing catch up here. So Marley says, I've kept my home phone because of the lousy cell reception where I live in the Upper Elk Lake area.
Should be no more problem there.
If you look up on Bear Hill, which is the mountain behind, you'll see the new cell towers there. And if you look on the right side as you're heading out of town on the Pat Bay Highway near Halliburton, you'll see the new cell towers there. They're co-sited, so pretty well all the, if not all, all the carriers should have that one. From a number that ends in 9585, we're building a new home in the Shawnigan Lake area. Should we be running coaxial cable Shaw or Cat 5 cable TELUS for rough-in service inside our house?
Yeah, go, I mean, Cat 5.
Wait, no, Cat 6.
No, Cat 6. Oh, pardon me. I thought they just said Cat 5.
Yeah, Cat 5E is good for greater distances, but Cat 6E is better for speeds and shorter distances.
Cat is category. That's the number of pairs that are used for the internet there. Yeah, so I would be putting...
And frankly, coax is... It's older technology now.
Yeah, so you'd be running that. But in most cases, if you're using Rogers, Shaw, then they're going to run the coaxial cable in.
They'll run it to the house and the junction box, and then you can just run from there to your modem, which will be it.
Yeah, they'll do that, but then your modem is going to be it because all the TV boxes and everything are now wireless 4K HDR. That's another of the big changes there. Greg was asking, when using Microsoft Office 365 Word, I want to save a document as a PDF. What's the difference between the two choices I get? One, best for electronic distribution and accessibility, or two, best for printing? Best for printing will be a higher file size.
Oh, yes.
So unless it's an 87-page PDF with lots of graphics, I would always use the best for printing.
Yeah, because that's still not that big. The max that is like 300 pixels per inch.
Yeah.
But it's probably even smaller if it's just a
It's a
PDF.
Great way, by the way, to send a whole bunch of pictures to people. Because when you put them in, they get compressed, but they still look really good as long as the people are opening them on a computer, tablet, or phone.
Oh, yes.
If you don't want to use cloud service and send them a link and all that, just put the photos into a Word document, save it as a PDF, and make that choice best for printing. And you'll find that 10 photos at 4 megapixels each, 40 megabytes, will end up being about 7 megs.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Good compression on that.
Yeah, that's a really cool one there. A couple quick ones in the show notes that we didn't get to here. This was a big week in aerospace achievements, two landmarks that took place. The first powered flight of the Stratolaunch TA-1, which reached supersonic speeds approaching hypersonic Mach 5. That's five times the speed of sound. I put that into the show notes at 44. And then also this week, Boom's supersonic XB-1 successfully executed its first flight. Boom want to be the people that build the replacement to the Concorde.
Yes.
Supersonic jet flight, bringing that back.
If you look at the jet they built, It looks pretty cool.
Yeah. So that one is in there at 44 and 45. There's also an update on the impressive Gordie Howe International Bridge that is spanning the Detroit River, as well as Air India's new in-flight safety video, which features the diverse traditional Indian dance forms from throughout that huge country. But we're leaving you with this one as we go. Paul Fay performing the Emperor's Fanfare on the legendary Bosch organ in Spain, which features some of the best trumpets in the world and a super powerful bombard in the pedal, item 48. Thanks very much for joining us, Gary.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.
Happy Easter to you as well, Brian.
Happy Easter, everyone.
Enjoy the rest of your long weekend. We'll talk to you next weekend.